In the world, January 1st is simply New Year's Day. But in the church, it's much more. It's something like a banquet. At a banquet, there's so much good food. You can't eat it all. You don't even know what to pick first. Because if you eat too much of one, then you can't eat the rest. That's something like today. So what's the good food? What's the good spiritual food that's on offer today, January 1st? Well, I can pick out four things right away. First of all, yes, it's New Year's Day. Secondly, it's the octave day of Christmas, the eighth day. Thirdly, it's the World Day of Peace. And fourth, it's the Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God. So I'll just touch on the first three briefly, and then we'll focus on the main course today, which is the Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God. So the first thing that comes to mind for most people is that New Year's Day, that January 1st is New Year's Day. Yes, yes. And usually on New Year's Day, we look back on the year we have just completed, and we look forward to the year that is beginning. We look back with some gratitude, I hope, and then we look forward with hope. That's a good thing to do. It's a good practice. Get our bearings, get our understanding of where we have come from and where we're going. And now that all the noise is over and the fireworks are over, we can sit back a little bit more peacefully and reflect more deeply. What are the highlights of the year 2025? Or even more important, not just what are the highlights, but what do we give thanks to God for? What we have received in the year 2025. And each of us will have our own answers to that question. What are the blessings we have received? What do we give thanks to God for? In the church, we can identify at least three very big events, big blessings. First of all, it was a Jubilee year. 2025 was the Jubilee year. It's officially over in most places, but in Rome, it will conclude on January 6th. Because in Rome, that's the Feast of the Epiphany. Here in the Philippines, we celebrate the Epiphany on Sunday, January 4th. Anyway, we're getting to the end of the Jubilee year. We have been journeying as pilgrims of hope all year. That was the theme, pilgrims of hope. And it was a pilgrim year. Maybe you didn't go to Rome, but I hope you had a chance to journey in the spiritual life to make progress in faith and hope. So Jubilee year. Secondly, one of the highlights of this 2025 was the death of Pope Francis and the election of Pope Leo XIV. A transition as well as a sign of continuity. The pilgrim of the church continues in time, now with a new successor on the chair of St. Peter, Pope Leo XIV. And then thirdly, just to pick out three highlights, this one might not seem as significant to you, but 2025 was the 1700th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea, the year 325, Council of Nicaea. That was 2025, so 1700 years. Maybe we don't think much about the Council of Nicaea, but one of the great fruits of that council, the first of the great ecumenical councils, was the creed that we use every Sunday, the Nicene Creed. In fact, we're going to use it this morning. So we can give thanks to God that we've had 17 centuries of unity in the one faith. Okay, so that's a few highlights. The first, you could say that's the first selection from the banquet, that it's New Year's Day. But if you look at the prayers and the readings that the church has chosen for this day, you will discover that the church pays almost no attention at all to the coming of the new year. The church, after all, follows a different calendar altogether. Not the secular calendar, but the liturgical calendar. And the church's new year started a month ago on November 30th. That was the first Sunday of Advent. And we didn't begin with fireworks and noisy celebrations. We looked at the beginning of the new liturgical year as an opportunity to begin again to prepare for the coming of the Lord. And that's what we did for 4 weeks of Advent. We prepared the way to celebrate something much greater than the turning of a page on our calendars, something much greater than changing the number from 25 to 26. No, we celebrated the appearance of the Word of God made flesh, the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And that is something to celebrate, whether we use fireworks or not. What we really celebrate is the coming of the Messiah. And that's what we have been celebrating for the whole Christmas season. It's a week already. Which brings us to today, the eighth day of Christmas, the octave feast of Christmas. This is the second option on today's banquet, to celebrate Christmas again, or to continue our celebration of the feast of Christmas. On the eighth day of Jesus' life, as we just heard in the Gospel, he was circumcised, like all Jewish boys of his time, and he received his holy name, Jesus, the name which means God saves. And Luke points out he received his name officially on the eighth day, but it was actually the name given him by the angel before he was even conceived in the womb. So, a name from eternity, but also a name now in time. Octave of Christmas. What's the third option in our banquet? First of all, we had, yes, New Year's Day, Octave of Christmas. The third one is that January 1st is also the World Day of Peace, sometimes called the World Day of Prayer for Peace. This is the 59th World Day of Peace, and we certainly need to keep praying for peace and keep working together for peace. This is a constant concern, and we know that 2025 has been another year full of conflict, war, strife, refugees suffering because of war. Pope Leo has invited us to reflect on the theme for this year's World Day of Peace. The theme is, peace be with you all towards an unarmed and disarming peace. He has issued a message for this day. I won't go into that. I want to go to the fourth and main option on the banquet of January 1st. That is that today is the Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God. So we start the year, the secular year, with Mary, the woman whom God chose to be the beginning of the new creation through the birth of her Son. On this feast day, we read an interesting passage from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, today's second reading. Paul says that when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. So the fullness of time, this is what we celebrate. This is the date that is most important to us, not the change from 2025 to 2026, but the fullness of time, when we celebrate the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we focus on this woman. He was born of a woman. St. Paul doesn't mention her name, but we know who she is. Mary of Nazareth, the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mary, Mother of God. Since we're in this parish and entrusted to Mary under the title Mary, Mother of the Church, it's certainly fitting that we focus on Mary, Mother of God. These two titles, by the way, are very closely connected, Mother of God and Mother of the Church. Mother of God, we celebrate right after Christmas. Mother of the Church, we celebrate right after Pentecost. The birth of Jesus, the head, from the womb of Mary, Mother of God. The birth of the Church on Pentecost, the body of Christ, from the prayers of Mary, Mother of the Church. But the Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God, today, is the oldest Marian feast. We could say the original Marian feast. It celebrates the first and the most fundamental truth that we believe about Mary. There's four established dogmas, or Marian dogmas. The first one, Mary, Mother of God, Mary's perpetual virginity, Mary's immaculate conception, Mary's assumption into heaven. Today, we focus on her divine motherhood. We use a unique and exalted title today, the Greek word Theotokos, which we translate as Mother of God, but it could maybe be better translated the one who gave birth to God, or gives birth to God. It's a title that was formally approved at another church council, not Nicaea in 325, that was the first council, but the third council in Ephesus in 431. So we're still talking about 16 centuries ago, it was approved that this is a correct way of talking about Mary. She is Mother of God. And we use this title all the time, actually. We might not think of it because it's so familiar to us. But in the Hail Mary, the prayer of the Hail Mary, we call Mary full of grace, because that's what the angel called her, Hail Mary, full of grace. And we call her Mother of God because that's what Elizabeth called her. The Mother of my Lord, she's Mother of God. So that goes all the way back to the Gospel, to the beginning. But the title Mother of God is still sometimes controversial because people ask the question, Mother of God, how can anyone be Mother of God? I mean, God is eternal, God is infinite, he doesn't come from anywhere or from anyone. The whole idea is absurd, that anyone could be Mother of God. It doesn't make any sense. And that's right until the fullness of time came. And in the fullness of time, God was born of a woman. So there is a Mother of God. The key to understanding this title, Theotokos, Mother of God, is actually the identity of her son. Because there's no question that Mary is his mother. The question is, who is he? Who did she give birth to? She gave birth to both God and man. He is the Word, the Son of the Father, and he is man, son of Mary. And because he has two natures, he can rightly be called having born, eternally begotten, and born in time, both. Some people don't like this. They say maybe it would be better to call Mary Mother of Christ or Mother of Jesus. Those are also correct, but they say not Mother of God. The problem with that idea, that she's only Mother of Jesus but not Mother of God, is that it splits Jesus into two people. One who's the Son of God and one who's the Son of Mary. That makes no sense. It's absurd. Jesus is one person. One person. With two natures. And he has one mother. So she is mother of the one person who is God. So it's just logic. He's God. She's his mother. She's Mother of God, Theotokos. He is God and man. He's divine and human. And these two, God and man, divinity and humanity, come together in Jesus Christ. He comes into the world through Mary, his mother. This means that we who are human, members of the human family, have a real connection with God because of her. It's not only Mary that benefits from the coming of Jesus, God and man. We benefit from his coming. That's why we celebrate Christmas. And St. Paul, in this letter to the Galatians, he points out this connection. He says, in the fullness of time, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to ransom those under the law. So that's part of the purpose, to ransom us. But then there's more. So that we might receive adoption as sons. So not just ransomed, but adopted. As proof that you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son, that's the Holy Spirit, into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Well, who could ever get the idea that we can call God our Father? Isn't that preposterous? Isn't it offensive to God, who's way, way above us? Who are we to claim that he's our Father? Well, no. We have this claim now, and here's the wonderful link that we celebrate today. Because God became man, born of a woman, Mary, the human family has this permanent connection with God in Jesus Christ. And because God has sent his own Spirit, the Holy Spirit, into our hearts, we have been adopted into God's own family. Jesus, God and man, born of Mary, is our brother. And because we're adopted into the family, we can call God our Father, Abba, because we are his adopted children. So this is all part of the fruit of Christmas, part of the joy of Christmas. Today's feast really does go with last week's feast of Christmas. This is the octave celebration of Christmas. The joy of Christmas is not only for the angels, and not only for Mary and Joseph. It's also for the shepherds. It's also for us. We celebrate with joy. Well, that's the banquet that is set before us on this day, January 1st. God wants us to have a happy new year, but even more, he wants us to have a happy eternity with him. And that's what Mary wants. So we ask Mary, Mother of God, Mother of the Church, our Mother, to pray for us. To pray for us now on January 1st and at the hour of our death. Amen.